It is so good to be able to share the Word of God again with you today. It has been many years since we started this ministry, around about 13 years we have figured, maybe 14, but 13 years. Not sure the official time and date, but it is a good thing that we have been able to do so. And I was looking back at the archives we have, both in audio and other areas as well, and I am just flabbergasted by what God has allowed us to be able to retain and also that which we've taught and been able to share. And I just want to praise Him. I just want to praise Him. I'm actually shocked at what God has done, and I'm thankful for the many lives He has changed. Seeds have been sown. Love has been shared. God's Word has been utilized to be that which is the bread of life and has been taken in by so many. And the Lord's Holy Spirit has changed the lives of so many radically that have ate of that bread of that Word and allowed that Word to become a part of them in Jesus, the bread of life, to just come alive in their souls. It's a good thing. I've been reminiscing too much of late, probably, in some of our meetings. I know I've had some of you say something to me about it, but that's okay. I'm 63 years old, not ashamed of it. I'm thankful I've came this far by faith. And I've made my mistakes, and I am very forthright about it. But I also know that so many times, despite my mistakes, the Lord has brought me through, and there are some wonderful people in my life and people that care for me and love me that I'm so thankful for. And as today we open up the Word of God and look at the book of John again, I pray that the Lord will touch you in the Word and bless you through His Holy Spirit. And I pray help you in your walk with God. I know some of you get tired of me saying it, but I don't know of anything better in this entire world than knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Knowing what it means to have fellowship with Him, allowing the Holy Spirit to touch. It's just fabulous. I was sitting there the other day going through prayer time and sharing with God and God with me. And as I came to a place where I was finishing up on some of my prayer outline that I use many times through the Great Litany, which I love in the Book of the Common Prayer. And I use it a lot in my prayer times, especially in my daily devotions, because it keeps me on course to deal with all the things and the folks and the intercessions that I need to in my prayer time. And as I was approaching the end of it again, I just sensed the wonderful Spirit of God. And I knew that it wasn't just me talking and praying, and there was an intercession and a ministry going on beyond what I could see or understand. And it just once again reminded me there's a beauty about God's covenant and that He has made with us in His Word. And He is in agreement with His Word. And when we share and pray as the Word requires or as the Word has demonstrated, we touch heaven and heaven touches us and we make a connection and God ministers. Miracles happen. Lives are changed. God's angels go forth. Wonderful things happen to His honor. And we cannot forget that. And we never should be selfish when it comes to availing ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit and being prayer partners together and intercessors for one another and encouragers of the Word. Amen. And to try to live out our lives in accordance to the book, in a way that glorifies Him so that others will be drawn to and know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A lot of people in this world are watching you. They're looking at you. Those who have been in the church and have backslid, they watch you and want to use you as an excuse, saying, oh, look at so-and-so. Why should we go back? There's other folks who are taking inventory, whether you like it or not, checking you out, seeing if the fruit's good before they're going to entertain going to the house of God. But if you'll keep on And if you'll keep on addressing your life under the microscope of God's insight and word, He will show you which way you should walk and talk and express in your life. And you will begin to taste and see that the Lord is good and His mercies endure forever. Amen. I was talking to someone earlier today about how God kind of brought things together with the outline of studies we do and how God birthed covenant many years ago. And it started out with like a lectionary series and just getting to know and finding out where people were coming from and then sharing with them the goodness of God and then getting the basic word and going through a continual evolvement of going through the books of the Bible. And then came along the foundation studies to get the benefits of doctrinal understanding. Then came the Shepherd series and the three books that are written by Philip Keller that so beautifully emphasized that intimacy and relationship with God. And then we went on to covenant worldview and getting a good snapshot picture of God's intention from creation to end times. And those beginnings and what God has helped to bring about and structure has been great for discipleship, training, and growth. And the Lord is blessed. And I can't say enough how much I appreciate the Lord and that one day He had me kind of stop the way I was used to doing things or seeing the way the church was birthed. Look back at the New Testament. Look back at what Christ talked about and prepared with His disciples and how He went about it in the Gospels. And then just the Lord challenged me with this ministry through people such as Derek Prince and people such as Charles Simpson and especially Malcolm Smith in his book about discipleship called Follow Me, and to mentor men and women into the ministry and truly it be apprenticeship. And in so doing and taking the time with people, God blessed and blossomed. And now others have just carried that same mantle and are walking in that word and allowing the Holy Spirit to do work. And we're seeing the Elijahs and the Elishas come forth. And God is just so good. Hallelujah. If you build the foundations correctly, if you put things in order correctly, God takes care of the rest. We've seen many churches birth, at least 3 to 4 churches we have been able to pray for and see come forth from the ministry. Thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. Many are still attached to the ministry, and we are so thankful for the 18 to 20 or so groups that we have with us formally meeting consistently. It's been up to 24, but some of those are fledgling, and we're just getting them off the ground. But we've seen over 48 young men and women and older folks as well. Be fully immersed into the kingdom in a way that has been able to see them become pastors and teachers and ministers and are preaching the gospel, have been ordained and are going forth in the things of God. Never in all the years I spent in other churches and things did we accomplish that or be able to support that kind of ministry or see that kind of apprenticeship. But you know something? It's not by might. It's not by power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. I was telling somebody a little while ago, I'm thinking about starting a new shepherd group. Hallelujah. Just separating the one we're in here with Brother Conrad and myself and others and just handing it over to him and Debbie and I and a few maybe helping out with seeing a new group start forth. I've done it before, but at least 4 times I've spent initiating new groups, discipling, being led of the Lord to do it. But that's all I've done. Basically, the rest of you have taken up the mantle and seen God just part the waters and see amazing things. But you know something? That spirit of home missions, that spirit of loving and seeing people baptized and coming to Christ and seeing this just work in reciprocity is just so awesome. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like the truth, the life, and the way. And hallelujah, I'm so thankful that He has saved us and brought us into this ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of John chapter 14. I don't know if I told you we're going to talk about John chapter 14 tonight. Don't know if I even said that earlier on. But we're in the 14th chapter of the book of John. Amen. And we're going to look especially at verses 1 through 11 of the 14th chapter of the book of John. And we're going to talk about the way. We're going to talk about the way. What is the way? That's the kingdom of God. That's the plan of salvation. That is the way Jesus has taught us, that way which is unto life in Christ, unto eternal life and fellowship with the Father. Amen. It is the way that was described in the book of Acts, and we're going to look at that. And I want you to just look at these scriptures with us tonight and to take it in and let God minister to you as I try to share it with you. And I just want to thank each and every one of you who listened to this word tonight for what you've done. If you're a partner with us at Covenant of Grace, and those who are going to listen to this and aren't a part of Covenant of Grace, I pray that you will take the word that you receive and you will let it become a part of your life and let God's love change and challenge you. I want you to know that there's life in Jesus' name, and the things of God are so precious. And you know, there's nothing that this world could ever offer you that can compare with its beauty, its eternality, its love, and everything else around about it. And if the church can truly live how Christ would have them live and walk in the way, the truth, and the life, God's power could become so demonstrative throughout this world. I believe the reason why the heathen rage and false religions flourish and other religions are filled with hatred and divisiveness is because we have not bear witness of the love of God like we should. And we have brought about our own little things or ideas, and we have kind of filtered in things into the scriptures to kind of fit the vernacular of some kind of let's say philosophy, or let's say some kind of idea we would like to convey and we think everybody should live by, but it's actually adding leaven to the lump of God's word and is messing it up and corrupting it rather than seeing the pure, undeniable power of God's word in action. When love really reigns, I can't get in this tonight. You guys know so many times I would like to get back to agape love. It's like, man, agape love. Ever since I've taught that series about a year or two ago on spiritual burnout and really getting back into some of those things I've taught in the past, and we've talked about in our Shepherd Trilogy series about the love of God and understanding agape love and what it means. You know, if we catch it right and we get it right, we can't mess it up. Good things are going to happen. People are going to want to be a part of the kingdom of God. But because we have so many times convoluted and, you know, tore love, true love, out of the scriptures, and what we're doing in the Christian faith, we have disannulled. We've made impotent the word of life. Hallelujah. And if we can really love on people, if we can really minister to people, if we can really care for people, there's nothing we can't see God do, because His love wants to reign, and His love wants to reign in our hearts. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, the Bible says. And nothing is too difficult for the Lord. I've seen people that every single church has given up on be totally changed and challenged because of what the Spirit of God can do. You know, I've seen people who have been rejected, spit out, pushed out, driven out of churches, some messing up, some not, some just making mistakes, some just not fitting in, who we've seen come and become great testimonies and landmarks the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we took some time to not just speak a message to them or tell them what is. But we actually listened, learned, and shared, and cared, and loved, and ministered to them. And we apprenticed them unto Jesus Christ. And they took upon the good news, and they embraced it, and supernatural things happened. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. There's life in Jesus' name. Our key verse here in the book of John is going to be verse 6 here in chapter 14. It's a wonderful book. I'm going to be reading from the NIV again tonight, if you don't mind. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? I will come back and take you to me, to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him. You've known him and you see him. Through Christ, we know him and we see him. Verse 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me? Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone has seen me has seen Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. All the miracles, all the glory, all the work is through him, living through Christ, that bore witness of the power of Godhead. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, verse 11, and the Father in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the work themselves. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And through him, you come into relationship with Father. And Papa embraces you with his love and shares with you his grace and puts his royal robe upon your back and puts his ring upon your finger. And you begin to eat with him and sup with him and share with him and have covenant with him and embrace his thoughts and embrace his word and embrace his ideas and embrace his kingdom and embrace his ways and see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. And beyond that, I'm more than that. I'm the truth. And I am the life. Hallelujah. If I find him, I can find my way to the Father. And he is the way. And to walk into his kingdom is the way. And within that way, the truth and the life encapsulates and brings it all into fruition. And his truth remains and life is in his name. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Don't be dissuaded from the cause of Christ, from the workmanship of the Lord, from the presence of God, from the house of God, from fellowship with one another. Take hold of the things of God. Embrace the things of God. Don't get put aside or lost in the way, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Focus is so important in the kingdom of God. And focus is so important in our lives. When we lose focus of where we are going and what we're doing, there becomes confusion. Confusion that keeps us from our destination. Keeps us from the path He wants us to trod. Keeps us from the place we need to be. But if we can keep our focus on what the Lord has said, what the Lord has headed down to us, and what the Lord is showing us, we keep on track. We get where we need to go and receive what God has for us. The devil is all about distracting you. He's all about getting you off course. He isn't going to blatantly just tear you away or try to tear you away from the Lord, tear you away from the church, tear you away from your relationships in the church. He's going to distract you and give you little things in your life that make you question, doubt, whatever, get off course, don't find time for God. You know, things that can impede, hinder, and begin to become a little leaven that leavens a whole lump and corrupts God's word. A little leaven. Leaven at the whole lump. There is something powerful in the scriptures when it tries to teach us that lesson, when it talks about leaven in the lump and talks about what a little piece of yeast can do and how it can grow. And sin can grow. Doubts can grow. Fears can grow. Things can get out of hand. That's if you don't keep your eyes focused upon the Lord. Don't recognize that He is there and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But if you're following Him in the way and you're diligently seeking Him, you're going to receive of the covenantal promises of God. I can't tell you how many times in my life it was not easy getting to a church service. It wasn't easy getting to here or there when I was trying to be about my Father's business. There seemed to be so many barriers. There seemed to be obstacles. There seemed to be things that just cropped out of nowhere to inhibit me from receiving my blessing. But when I pressed my way and touched the hem of His garment at that meeting, in that prayer time, in that word study, wherever it was, God met with me and I had imparted to me His glory, His power, His mercy. I want you to know that sacrifice sometimes is necessary to receive the blessings of God. And it takes commitment to accomplish many of the things that God will want you to do in your life. Anything worth anything is worth sacrificing for. Anything worth accomplishing is worth paying the price for. If we get it too easy and it's just handed down to us, it almost has a nonchalant attitude within our spirit about the preciousness of it. And we kind of take it for granted. But I never want to take for granted the things of God and what He's brought me through to get where I am today and where I need to be, that I might see His glory, that I might see His face, that I might honor His name, and that I might see the visitation of His presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Never count yourself short. Never think you can't get it done. Never think that you don't have the tools. God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. And He is no respecter of persons. That means, hey, brother so-and-so, it looks like he's so blessed and so profited and everything else by the things of God. You know, he's no different than you. You just got to get into that position. You've got to get into that position where God can fill you up, where he can touch your life, where he can bless you, just like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so did, who got and received that blessing they needed. Amen. Lord, let me be where the glory comes out. Lord, let me be where I need to be to receive that which I need to receive to be able to accomplish your will. Amen. Look back at verse 1 of chapter 14. Hallelujah. I hope that you are being blessed by his word tonight. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Hallelujah. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I may go there to prepare a place for you? The Lord is always preparing a place for you. The Bible even says he prepares a place for you in the midst of your enemies. God's got it all under control. God is preparing things. God's putting things together. Sometimes we have to wait. We have to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we have to get some tools together. Sometimes we have to receive some knowledge. Sometimes we have to get in a place where we have it, where he wants it, so that we can have what is necessary to accomplish his goals. But he's preparing a way for us. And he's going to show forth his glory. You know, preparing for something is not a bad thing. I know we get anxious. I know we get troubled. Lord, you know, you don't wait too long here. God, things are kind of crumbling in on me. You know, hey, you know, I know we get, you know, like trepid. But don't let fear overtake you. Let your heart not be troubled, for the Lord will bring you through. And he's preparing a place for you, not just for eternity. He's preparing a place today. He's preparing a place in the present. And he wants you to be able to succeed, to see the glory of God visited in your life and for you to be a blessing to others. You know, hey, you might not like going through college to gain that education, that degree, but the sacrifice you make and the preparation you make, there's going to be some things you're going to receive and tools that are going to help you for the rest of your life. Those things you're doing in preparing for anything in your life have a benefit for you. But it takes time to get ready to serve God. And it takes time to get ready to serve on that job. And it takes time to get ready to take up that position, wherever it might be that you want to attain to in life. It's not just going to be handed to you. I've met a lot of kids who Papa just handed things to them. And they never understood the sacrifice. They never understood what it meant to Dad and really what he went through to get there. And they just take it for granted and they just squander many times the inheritance that their father gave them. Why? Because they never paid a price to get there. They never really understood the cost. They never understood the preparations made to see what they so easily received. You know something? We do our children, we do our friends, we do people in the kingdom of God a disservice sometimes when we just do it for them or make a way for them and they just never learn lessons or really understand what's going on or what they need to do to be where and to see what God wants them to do in their lives. You got to learn how to pray. I can't pray for you. Don't just imitate me. Begin to understand the depth and the love of God. I remember when I was so blessed in high school and my pastor, Brother Nordstrom, would be in the downstairs of the church praying. And he'd be seeking God before service. And I would sit a few feet over and I'd kneel at a chair and I'd pray myself, but I would listen to that man of God and listen to him pray. And as he broke through and just got through those different things of thanking God for his goodness, praising him and ministering to him. He then got into the place in his prayer time where he lifted someone up or was considering someone in the church, and the depth of love and the spilling out of his heart before God. It was all there, open. And I sat there astonished at the depth of that man's love for the Lord and his love for the people of God. Wow. And you know something? That's the heart of a pastor. That's a shepherd's love. And there's so many times we talk about shepherd leaders and we try to train people to become shepherd leaders. There's a special heart of a shepherd that is different than anything else in this world because it understands the responsibility, it understands the price tag involved in everything that goes on, and it understands not just the price that needs to be paid today, but what it's going to take tomorrow. And it knows that sometimes it's got to go beyond anything that we could ever think or understand when it comes to the depth of grace that needs to be extended. Because we're always looking to see redemption. We're always looking to see restoration. Now sometimes, as we've learned in our studies in this Shepherd's Trilogy, the shepherd, you know, when a sheep kind of broke away and kind of did their own thing, when he brought them back in, you know, he sometimes broke the leg or whatever it might be. So that person would stay, that sheep, would stay close to home. And there was a price to be paid for that going out there, you know, and getting away from the sheepfold and being in a place of an unprotected area. They had tried to go out too many times. And finally, the shepherd had to tend to it and teach a lesson from it. But in the midst of that sheep, its leg being broken or whatever it might be, that shepherd kept that sheep near him all the time. Joe was strong again, whatever. But that sheep then was so intimately touched by, connected to the shepherd, that when it got back on its feet and got going, it didn't have the same behavioral patterns again. It didn't try to go out there and put itself in terrible environment with wolves and understood the beauty of being under the protection of God's sheepfold and under the direction of the shepherd. Amen. There are people in the church and people who've been disciplined in the church and things I've done as a pastor that have not always been fun, but they've been necessary for the salvation of a soul, for the keeping of God's grace, for seeing someone be able to understand what it means to be part of the kingdom of God and walk in the way, the truth, and the life. Keep their eyes focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. He's the author and the finisher of the faith. He authored the book and he knows the ending, and he is going to help you finish the job when it comes to walking in this Christian life. But you've got to give him the chance, and you've got to be willing to sacrifice. Amen. So don't let your hearts be troubled. He's preparing a place for you. It's going to be all right. Amen. And the place he's preparing for you, he's going to be there. You're not going to get this place prepared for you and be left alone on your own. He's going to be there all the way in the preparation stage to the place where you get there. All along the way. He never leaves you or forsakes you. Jesus, as you walk in the way, never leaves you or forsakes you. He's always keeping his eyes on you. Hallelujah. And he loves you. Amen. Look back at verse 5, if you will. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father, which is the final destination, the place of total restoration and grace, except they go through me. You won't know all that intimate and total agape love until you go through me. Follow me as I go through the cross. Follow me until I get to the day of Pentecost. Follow me. Amen. The Bible says he'll make us fishers of men. But we follow Him. As we follow Christ in His Word and understand His teachings, we begin to develop an understanding of what He's preparing us for, and to understand that He's taking us into the Father's arms. He's taking us into that place where we will find ourselves enraptured in His glory, enraptured in His power, seeing Him, honoring Him, seeing the glory of God, and being able to see that robe upon our back, the ring upon our hand. Hallelujah. And all that the Lord has prepared for them that love Him. Prepared for them that love Him. He's going to find out if you love Him or not. Your wife, your girlfriend, they know when you love them or not. They know if it's genuine or not. They're not fooled. You might think you're fooling them by some kind of, you know, game you're playing or different things you're doing. And you might think a few flowers here and this and that can keep them satisfied. But there better be truth. Hallelujah. There better be truth. Hallelujah. Within what you're dishing out, what you're sharing, what you're caring, and life, real depth to what you're doing as love begins to be developed in your relationship. Amen. Genuine. That's what we want to be as believers. Genuine. I know those who are really going to pray for me when they say they're going to pray for me, and those who do not. Hallelujah. And probably you do too. Have you ever had a person say, "Oh, I'm going to pray for you, brother. I'm going to pray for you, sister." And you know their prayer life, so you probably know whether their prayers are worth anything or not as well. Amen. Glory to God, oh me. Hallelujah. That's true though, isn't it? I know who the prayer warriors are in the church. I know those who talk with God. I know those who prepared a way, have followed after Him, have gone through the cross, have paid the sacrifice, know what it means to get to that Pentecostal experience, know to get to the upper room and let God's Holy Spirit just pour upon them. I know those kind of people. They're willing to wait in the upper room until they receive the power. When you have people that you need to pray for you, you need to know that they are prayer warriors and know how to wait. And they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings of eagles. They'll soar. You want those kind of people praying for you, because they will shake heaven in order for you to receive a blessing. Amen. I want those kind of prayer warriors. I want to be that prayer warrior. I want to be that prayer warrior. The other day I was thinking at times about how sometimes I'm inconsistent. In that sometimes, Lord, I don't have a lot of time here, but I'm going to pray. And I go through the motions, but that same spirit, that same tenacity, that same in-season and out-of-season kind of prayer time isn't really there. Amen. The Bible tells me to be ready to pray in season, out of season, whatever time of day it is to pray. There needs to be a steadiness and assertiveness, and there needs to be a diligence about that. My old pastor in Great Bend, Kansas, Charles Ellis, and I'll be wrapping up here shortly, guys. I hope that you are being blessed by his word today. Amen. But Charles, he and his wife are real precious. He and Pauline were just great. Brother Nordstrom, who I worked with in my early years and was in high school and in his ministry, he blessed me so much in getting on this road of faith and walking with Jesus. But Pastor Ellis helped me so much in my ministerial life in getting me set for service. And I even started evangelizing and preaching in many churches because of him at a very young age. When I first came to be at the church there in Great Bend, Kansas, he said, "Hey, you're called to preach," your pastor says. I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I want you to be ready at any time for with a word to preach. I will not tell you when you're going to preach. That was his way of apprenticing me, I guess. Amen. I don't do that to you guys as shepherd leaders. I'm pretty good. I let you know when you're preaching, don't I? I'm pretty fair. But Brother Ellis never knew. So every single service, I had to have a message. I better be in the Word. I better be in prayer. I better have some kind of understanding of what's going on before I get to church. Because I could be called upon and I would never know when I'm going to preach. I want you to know that was pretty good. Because I just was so confident in my ministry when I went out to do it. Brother Charles was a prayer warrior and he knew what it meant and he showed me that lifestyle just like Brother Nordstrom had. But Charles and his preparation for my ministry, that's what he wanted me to do. When young men from Texas Bible College came to be at our church, they were going to preach, do the preaching, all these young men from the college, some of them sophomores, some of them juniors. I think one gentleman was a senior in school, Texas Bible College. And Brother Ellis said, one of the nights, you're going to preach. And I'm like, hey, you got all these guys. They've been the Word. They're going to seminary. They know it. He said, no, you're going to preach. And so one of the nights, I don't remember what night it was, I preached. I knew what I had to do. Whatever Brother Ellis said, that was to be prepared to preach. And I preached the Word. One of the young men afterwards came up to me just staring at me, and I just didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to do. I felt intimidated by these eyes. And he said to me, how in the world did you ever learn to preach like that? And I told him, I learned how to pray and stay on my knees. And my pastor expected me to be ready to give a word. And I, every time I went to church, I had a word. And I tried to get to the heart of it. I didn't have the benefit of a good theological education like these guys did. But I took what I had, and the Lord was already preparing a place for me so I could serve in His kingdom. I want you to know today, I want you to succeed. I want you to be a blessing. I want you to get to that place that God's preparing for you. I want you to be in that upper room experience. I want you to be there after the day of Pentecost, and God blesses, and you go forth to wherever it might be, and God uses you for His glory. And you share the good news of Jesus Christ, walking in the truth, the life, and the way. Understanding that the way is Jesus. And He is the way that leads us to Papa, to Father. And ultimately, into that realm of Christian living, where we walk in pursuit of the Master's presence, His will, and His purpose. I'm going to close with these scriptures. Look to the book of Acts, if you will. 19, verse 9. Thank you for your patience this evening. I've spoken a little longer than what I intended to. But Acts chapter 19, verse 9. I think that's what I said. Maybe I didn't, but that's what it is. Acts 19, verse 9. There will be a few other scriptures, but very few. I am wrapping up. And he went back inside. Went back inside. The place. Where do you come from? He answered, but Jesus gave him no answer. Hold on 1 second. Is this where I want? Give me a second. No. Catch my breath here. This is the passage I want. Checking my notes, make sure I got the right one, guys. I'm in the book of John, that's why I'm wrong. Sorry about that, guys. I didn't even get to the book of Acts. I stayed in John. And you guys didn't catch me. What's wrong with you? Come on now. Should have caught me on that one. I didn't get far enough. Not John 19:9, Acts 19:9, just like I told you. Okay, here we go. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. There are going to be those that don't receive your word. There's going to be those that reject the way. They're going to not understand what Jesus is trying to do. And they're going to be in dispute. But notice what Paul did considering that in the next verse, okay? So Paul left them, okay? He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in a lecture hall at Tyrannus. It was their practice so many times to go to the synagogues first and to begin to teach and minister or dispute or talk about the gospel. But they were obstinate who were receiving the word. So Paul said, okay. And he left with his disciples and went to a lecture hall and began to teach and minister daily in that lecture hall. And this went on for 2 years. 2 years as people began to hear the word. Hallelujah. He took an obstacle, took a place of deference that had not wanted to receive the word, and he just went to another destination in the same area and began to preach the word, and for 2 years went ahead ministering God's word. God will find a way and a place for his word to be received, but many times he doesn't want us to waste time where time doesn't need to be wasted. Amen? Hallelujah. But they were to walk in the way. He was showing them the way. And that way was Jesus. Now look at verse 23, if you will. Verse 23, the same chapter. About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. Obstacles before, you know, obstinates. Now, you know, there became, in this scripture, a disturbance. When you start preaching Jesus and him crucified, it can stir things up. It's not always received well. But if you'll talk about him, minister about him, share about him, and have intimate knowledge with him, there are going to be those who will receive the word. But don't think that preaching God's word is always going to be nice. When you're preaching the truth and the life of Christ, that way he is isn't always received real well. Okay? There's going to be opposition. Chapter 24, verse 14. Chapter 24 of Acts, verse 14. Go there now. That's 24:14. Hallelujah. I love the word of God. However, I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that is in accordance with the law and this written in the prophets. He was going to walk in the way. He was going to walk in the truth. He was going to walk in the light. Some might have called it a separate sect, but it was the way. As far as he was concerned, it was the way. Paul consistently contended for the way. And the Jesus way was the way. Hallelujah. And one more scripture, if you will. Verse 22 of that same chapter. 22 of chapter 24. Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the meetings. There's going to be a lot of people that are acquainted to the way. They've heard about the way. They know a bit about Jesus, but they don't want to embrace it. So in the midst of all your ministry, in the midst of all your sharing and trying to plant seed, His Word, remember, plant the seed, and sometimes, boom, God gives increase. Other times, there can be opposition, there can be difficulties. Plant it, pray on it, keep on loving those folks, but sometimes you got to move on. There's going to be different degrees and levels of ministry. You need to have wisdom in so doing. And you're even going to minister to those who might be folks like Felix, higher in government, etc. People of astonishing, you know, places in high places. Some will receive it, some will not. But they'll know of it because of you. Hallelujah. I don't worry about everybody coming to the Lord. I don't worry about everybody understanding this way, the truth, and the life that John 14:6 talks about. But I know I love the way. And I know that if I can point them to Jesus, they can get to Father because He was the Father in flesh, the Godhead. See, hail the incarnate deity. He was the Father in respect to the point and the place of emulating all of the Godhead bodily. And He pointed the way to Father and to a place of oneness with Him and coming to know Him that can embrace the power of eternality. Amen. There's more I could say about that and about Godhead and about what Jesus meant when He talked about, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. But suffice it to say that the Son of Man was the God-man wrapped in flesh. And He was a representation of Godhead at that time on the earth. It was all you could see from the Father. But He was pointing to a way and a place for you and me to go one day where we will ultimately be with Father. And God is a spirit. And they that worship Him in spirit and truth. Today I want you to know as you embrace this word and walk in this way, and allow God to share in your life and to minister to you. It's a great light. It's a great life to live. And it's a life of hope. It's a life of charity. It's a life of giving. It's a life of sacrifice. It's so much more. But ultimately, what it is, it's the way. Hallelujah. I want you to walk in the way. I want you to know Him. Hallelujah. This upcoming period of time in our Christian calendar, we're going to be celebrating the crucifixion and Easter. And you know something? Jesus was willing to lay down His life for this way. The way He was and is pointing to the Father. And this kingdom way that we walk in, the principles and teachings of Christ, is so important to share with others. Because it gives hope to everyone we come in contact to. And gives opportunity for everybody who embraces it. Because there's life in Jesus' name. There's hope in Jesus' name. And if you honor Him, He can bless you in so many ways. Hallelujah. I guess the clock is ticking on me. There it goes. I've overcome. I've outdone my time. Hallelujah. But the Lord is so good, isn't He? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, thank You so much for Your word. In Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for what You've shared with us from the book of John. And I pray that you'll keep on teaching us and guiding us as we live out our Christian walk, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. And that we let faith take hold of us and we begin to take step by step and walk with you. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm so thankful I didn't know everything about the journey. Because, Lord, if I would have known everything about the journey, I would have never gone on this path. Like Thomas, I could sit there and say, Lord, what is the way? What am I going to do? What's the path? Show it to us. You showed them in those days gone past what they needed to know at that point, the disciples, what they need to know at that point, the believers. Because if they would have saw everything and the sacrifice and things at the cross, they might have abandoned you way before the cross. Hallelujah. But one day in an upper room, many gathered. God touched, and through those few, he changed the world. And today, Father, we pray that you would touch us and help us to share your love and that we can touch a lost and needy world and show forth your love and show forth the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.